The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hi, this is Jerry from Remnant. Let's be honest, this life can be hectic, draining, and downright confusing. My hope is that by listening to this message, your life can be impacted by God's great love for you, and His love will give you wisdom, courage, and strength. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Godsey.
Good morning. Wow, I can't believe we're at the end of the series. Today, we're going to talk about living the creed. Giving an awful lot of stuff about what the creed is, and I've tried to give you some living points as we go, but we're going to tie it all together. Really cram 10 pounds of flour in a 5-pound sack. All right, so let's open up with a word of prayer. And see where God takes us. God, thanks. Bless us now, Father. I pray you'll open our hearts to hear from you. Thanks, God. We ask it in your name. Amen. So let's look at the creed one last time. Wow. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. So, over the past 14 weeks, we've really taken a long journey through one of the oldest and most meaningful statements of Christian faith, the Apostles' Creed. And we started by saying, this isn't Scripture. This helps you understand where Scripture's pointing us. So, again, we've talked about God the Father, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Church, forgiveness, the resurrection, eternal life. We've studied doctrine. That's usually leaves a bad taste in Christian's mouth. Oh, let's do a study on doctrine. It's like kale salad.
Ha, ha, ha.
We've learned what Christians have believed for nearly 2,000 years. But I want to ask you one final question today. So what? Big, fat, hairy deal. So what? Because here's the danger. We can know the creed without living the creed. We can recite every line and still miss the point. James warned us about that very thing. James 1:22. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. Notice what he's saying here. He's saying it's possible to know the truth and still deceive yourself. My grandpa used to say, nobody can lie to you like you can lie to you. Knowledge alone doesn't change lives. Truth that is believed and obeyed changes lives. It's possible to believe this stuff and still not obey it. The Apostles' Creed was never intended to become something Christians merely memorized. It was meant to become something they lived. Heard by a little boy, stood in church and proudly recited Psalm 23, all from memory. Afterwards, someone complimented him and said, do you know what the psalm means? He smiled and says, no, but I know it pretty well. Sometimes we're not much different. We know the words. We know the verses. We know the doctrines. We know when to raise our hands in worship and, put our hands down. But knowing isn't enough. God calls us to live what we believe. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about some of the things we've talked about in the Creed, and then I'm going to show us how we apply that, okay? So if we believe God is our Father, then we live with confidence. The Creed begins, I believe in the God, the Father Almighty. If that's true, then fear doesn't have to rule our lives. We don't face tomorrow alone. We belong to our Father. Matthew 6, 31 through 33. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. Jesus didn't say that life would be easy. He said we have a Father who knows our needs. Children sleep peacefully during thunderstorms. Not because they understand the weather, but because Dad's in the house. Faith isn't believing there won't be storms. Understand that. Anybody that's told you that you become a Christian, all your problems will go away, lied to you. Faith isn't believing there won't be storms. Faith is believing that our Father is bigger than the storm. See the difference? So when worry comes, remember who your Father is. If we believe Jesus is Lord, then we surrender control. The Creed doesn't simply call Jesus Savior. It calls Him Lord, capital L. That's a very important distinction. Everybody wants a Savior, but not everybody wants a Lord. See, a Savior rescues, but a Lord rules. Oh, Jerry, talk about Jesus saving me. Hallelujah. But don't talk to me about how He wants to now. Tell me what, you know, what I can't do. You know, don't talk to me about forgiveness, Jerry. I know I'm supposed to, but I don't wanna. So much of the critical points in our Christian life are places where we say, I don't wanna. I know what the Bible says, but let me tell you something, Sparky. Anything after but is sin and is gonna take you down a tube. I know what the Bible says, and I will follow it. Is it hard? Yeah. You think? Luke 6:46. Why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? Now, I may have said that more insistently than Jesus would. Actually, I would have said it better. Why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, you won't listen to what I'm talking about? You moron. I've told you before, if you come to me with an issue and we come up with a way that you can address it, and then you come back to me, you know, a week, 2 weeks later with the same issue, I'm going to ask you the same question. Did you do what we talked about before? If the answer is no, that second conversation is pretty much over at that point. Because you're not going to apply what you should apply. Why should I try and give you new things? You know what to do, you don't want to do it. Jeez, if I'm really Lord, why aren't you following me? Imagine hiring a personal trainer. He gives you a workout plan, a meal plan, daily exercises. 6 months later you return, you've ignored everything he said. Then you complain that nothing changed. Whose fault is that? Christian life works the same way. Jesus didn't ask us to merely admire Him. He asked us to follow Him. Oh, Jesus, I love you so much. Good. Are you going to do what I'm going to say? Well, not so much. Can you imagine looking Jesus in the eye and telling Him that? Stop. I'm going to grab my computer. Stop for a minute. Imagine yourself telling Jesus face to face, yes, Lord, I know I'm supposed to forgive, but I'm not going to because it's too hard. If I was Jesus, I would just hold up my hand and show the spike hole. Want to talk about hard for a minute, sweetheart? You got nothing to stand on. Lord, I know I'm supposed to do this, but I don't want to. Okay. Go to hell. What? Yeah. Yeah, if you don't want to do the things that get you eternal life, go to hell, because that's where you're going. Every day we choose who's going to be in charge today. Who's going to be in charge of my life today? Me or Jesus? And if you think I've been harsh right then, okay. Maybe so. I ain't scared. I'm so mean. If we believe the Holy Spirit lives within us, then we never walk alone. One of the greatest truths we study is that God's Spirit lives within every believer. Think about that. The Creator of the universe chose to make His home in you. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? Years ago, people would say, well, I need to go to church to find God. Now, don't understand me. You know how I feel about the church. We need to gather together. But if you're a believer, God walked into the church with you. He rode home in your car. And he wishes you would drive better because you're scaring him. He'll be with you tomorrow at work. When temptation comes, remember who's living inside you. When fear comes, remember who's walking beside you. God is with us every step of the way. If we believe we're forgiven, then we become forgiving people. Some of you may want to just turn off the video now. It's too late, though. This may be the hardest lesson of all. Because forgiven people are called to forgive. Ephesians 4:32. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. How did God forgive us through Christ? He bore all the cost. He sent His Son to die for us. He offered it whether we asked for it or not. And He keeps offering it to us even though we continually stick our thumb in His eye. Oh, but Jerry, you don't know what they've done to me. They don't deserve forgiveness. I got news for you, Sparky. Neither do you. And neither do I. None of us deserve God's forgiveness. He gives it because He loves us. That's why it's called grace. Notice the standard in this verse. We don't forgive because people deserve it. Forgive because we didn't deserve God's forgiveness either. Imagine somebody paying off every debt you've ever owed, every mortgage, every credit card, every loan. Then you refuse to forgive someone who owes you $20. That doesn't make sense. But spiritually, we often do exactly that. God has forgiven us of lifestyles that we would be embarrassed to talk about. And then somebody comes and they've wronged you, or they keep wronging you. Let's be honest. Some people just keep doing it. You're gonna punish them over $20 when God's forgiven you of millions? Who do you need to forgive? I guarantee you, a lot of you have a name right now. You put a face to it. Who do you need to forgive? Not because they've earned it, but because Christ forgave you. See the standard? I'm not forgiving them because they deserve it. I'm forgiving them because I didn't deserve it either, but Christ gave it to me. So you need to mark Ephesians 4:32 in your Bible, and every time you're about to be stingy with your forgiveness, you need to remember that verse. If we believe Christ is coming again, then we live with urgency. The Creed reminds us he will come again. Look, that means that every day matters. Every conversation matters. Every opportunity matters. 2 Peter 3:11, since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives you should live. Peter's point is simple. Future hope should shape present living. Future hope should shape present living. We've talked about cleaning a lot because this is kind of what we do. Have you ever waited for company to arrive? Suddenly everybody starts cleaning. Things get vacuumed that haven't been vacuumed in months. Laundry disappears in a closet. You know, we all have the company closet where everything, when the company comes, everything goes in the closet. If somebody opens the door, pray for them because they're about to get overwhelmed with dirty calzones and all kinds of stuff. The expectation of someone's arrival changes how we prepare. Jesus says, live every day prepared. I think during this one lesson, I told the story about Chuck Swindoll that worked in a factory with this guy, and they were all going to go out to dinner afterward, and he was still in his everybody else took off about half an hour early to go to the change room, get changed and cleaned up and change into nice clothes and stuff. And Swindoll went to the guy and says, hey dude, we got like 10 minutes, you're not ready. He goes, I'm ready. He goes, no, you're still in your overalls. The guy unzips his overalls and steps out and is wearing the cleanest set of clothes, looked nice, looked sharp. He said, I don't have to get ready because I stay ready. Ooh, live every day prepared. Don't live as though this world is all there is, because it ain't. If we believe in eternal life, then we live with hope. Christians should be the most hopeful people on the earth. Not because life is easy, because we know how the story ends. Oh, and have you ever talked to Christians? How's it going, sister so-and-so? Well, you know, I'm just holding on till Jesus comes. My life is hard, but, you know, eventually I'll die. Hey, sister so-and-so, got a little pebbles on your chin from dragging on the ground there. Somebody asked my grandpa once, he was pumping gas at the station, and the gases were high for that time. It was like 30 cents a gallon, his story. And he said, somebody looked at him and says, Pastor Brewer, how are you living under these circumstances? And he said, sister, every day with Jesus, I'm living above the circumstances. Go, Grandpa. I'm living above the circumstances. Yeah, it might be tough right now, but I got hope. Sun's going to come up tomorrow. God's going to shine. If I'm drawing breath, I ain't dead. Let's go. Romans 11, or excuse me, 15, 13. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Wow. Let's break that down. I pray that God, the source of hope, I'm not asking if Bank of America is your hope or the government is your hope. God is my hope. That God will fill me completely with joy and peace because I trust in him. Then I will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Look, if you're thinking that you're doing this all by yourself, that's part of your problem. I have confident hope, not because Jerry Godsey is anything great, because the God I serve is great. I gotta confess to you, I love reading mysteries. And a lot of times I read the last chapter first. Now, it's a terrible habit, I know. But once you know how it ends, you read the whole story differently. Look, we've read the last page of this book we call Life. Jesus wins. The church wins. Evil loses. Death loses. Jesus reigns forever. I've seen the end of the book. We win. Don't allow temporary problems to steal eternal joy. Living the creed every day. Here's where the rubber meets the road. The Apostles' Creed is not something we just confess on Sunday or as part of our daily devotion, although I think it's a good idea to do that. It's something we live on Monday. See, when we forgive, we're living the creed. When we trust God during hard times, we're living the creed. When we love our neighbor, we're living the creed. We share the gospel, we're living the creed. When we worship Christ as Lord, we're living the creed. Doctrine should always produce discipleship. And belief should always produce behavior. Don't just know it, live it. So, let's bring the whole series together. It's hard to believe this is the end of it. 15 weeks. This is the longest of these video series I've done. Hope you've enjoyed it. I'm sure some of it feel like tight shoes. And look, I've told you this many, many times before. You guys say, oh, Jerry, you're so mean. You know what? You had to listen for half an hour. I've had to live this. Because I can't put these things together and not live them. And sometimes the Holy Spirit kicks my tail end around the house. Just because I'm teaching it doesn't mean I'm perfect at it, but it does mean I'm trying. So let's remember what we've learned. Because we believe God is our Father, we trust Him. Believe Jesus is Lord, we follow Him. The Holy Spirit lives within us, we depend on Him. The church is our family, we serve together. Our sins are forgiven. We forgive others. Christ is coming again, so we stay faithful. Eternal life awaits, and we live with hope. That's what it means to live the creed. My grandpa used to tell the story about a missionary who's coming home from the foreign field. He'd been serving decades overseas. As the ship pulled into New York Harbor, there was a huge crowd waiting at the dock. Bands were playing, people were cheering, flags were waving. For just a moment, the missionary thought, wow, what an incredible welcome. Then he discovered the celebration wasn't for him at all. There was some politician on the same ship. The crowds never even noticed the missionary. As he walked away discouraged, he quietly prayed, Lord, after all these years of serving you, no one was here to welcome me home. In his heart came the gentle reminder, you're not home yet. Neither are we, folks. One day, we'll hear the applause of heaven. We will see our Savior face to face. One day, every promise we've studied in this series will become reality. But until then, we live the creed. Not simply with our lips, but with our lives. And look, we said this is the final study. Don't let the 14 lessons you've completed, don't just leave it behind. Let it become the foundation of how you think, of how you pray, how you serve, how you forgive, how you love, how you worship, and how you live. May people never have to wonder what we believe, because they can see it in the way we live. Not because we've preached at them, but because we've lived it in front of them. When they ask why we live differently, may we point them to Jesus Christ. One of the greatest compliments I've ever gotten was a guy I worked at the sheriff's office with. He was a corrections officer. And he came up to me one day, he says, "You know, Gotsy, when I see you, I see Jesus." Mic drop. That's it. I'll never get a better compliment than that. Let's point people to Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our coming King. Amen. Our last set of discussion questions. Which truth from the Apostles' Creed has had the greatest impact on your life during this series? Which area of living the creed challenges you the most right now? I'm gonna take a wild guess here and say that forgiveness is the top of a lot of people's lists. How can your daily life reflect what you say you believe? What is one practical step you could take this week to better live out your faith? How would you explain the core message of the Apostles' Creed to someone who's never read it before? I have loved this series. I hope you have as well. I hope it's done something within you. God is so good. Folks, whatever you do, don't walk away from this and say, "All right, the Apostle Creed, yeah, but..." The Apostle Creed, yes, God, how do I apply it? How do I make it show up in my life? And God will do it. Father, thanks. Lord, I pray that our lives would be changed. That our hearts would be turned toward you fully, not holding anything back, not reserving anything, but God, given to you fully. Thanks, Father. God, work in our lives. Let us feel you doing something great within us. Thanks, God. Thanks. Ask it in your name. Amen. All right. 15 weeks. Lot to think about, lot to pray about, lot to live. You know what? I just got this sneaking suspicion you can do it. Oh, trust me, I don't have any faith in you or me. But I got a lot of faith in God that as we turn our lives over to Him, He makes up the difference. All right? Love you guys. We're going to take a couple of weeks, 2-3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks off while I try and figure out where we go next. And you'll know when I know. Love you. Bye.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us online at remnantchurchiv.com. You built a mighty fortress, 10,000 burdens high. Love is here.